from our heart, living from our core, living from our power, we all get more. We are powerful women.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Heart and Soul Summit. I am so thrilled that you are listening right now to this interview because I know that you are going to just grab some information from this and put it in your life and use it to live more from your heart space, more soul inspired than you already are. I'm Sue Erta. I'm your host for this event, and I'm so happy to be able to interview all of these amazing women who are the authors of the Heart and Soul Anthology book. And today I'm very excited to talk with Annalee Davey. And she's an amazing woman as well. I like her. I know you're going to love what she has to say today. And so what I'm going to do is read a brief introduction of Annalee, and then we'll get started talking with her. Annalee grew up under the vast blue skies and golden wheat fields of the Canadian prairies. The solitude of the country and the backdrop of nature nurtured an innate ability to slow down, observe the world, and use the gift of imagination. This contemplative approach continues today as Annalee begins to explore with greater intention the role of art in personal and collective freedom of expression. Annalee has followed a writing practice for more than 25 years. She can be found working in her expressive art studio in Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. And Annalee, I am happy to talk with you today. How are you?
Hi, Sue. I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. And I'm just thrilled to be here along with all these other amazing authors. It's really exciting.
Yes, you are in great company, and it is exciting. And I'm happy to talk with you today. You know, I love the title of your interview, Being on the Light Side of History, Art Making as Mindfulness in the Age of Disruption. So that's an interesting title. Why do you feel art making is an important? Hang on a second, Annalee. I'm just going to ask that again.
Oh, sure.
So, Annalee, tell me, why do you feel art making is important as a response to the chaos in the world today?
Thanks, Sue. It's a really big title, isn't it? I kind of laughed after I titled it that because I thought, oh, that's a mouthful. And so I had to really ask myself what I meant by that because I think the title actually came to me before the words did about why, in fact, I had chose it. So it seems like a big idea to me, and I think it's my way of saying that we all live in this dance between light and dark, and I really believe that's what our lives are. So what are we going to choose in the next moment and the next and the next? Are we choosing to help a neighbor, or are we choosing to turn our backs? Are we choosing to allow our minds, it's my mind, my brain, to create a story that tells me I'm better than another, that I deserve more than another, that someone else is taking things away from me, that there even is an other. So it's really this question of how do I show up in the world as a loving, compassionate person amidst all the darkness and chaos that's being played out today in front of us? And how do I show up as a conscious person without, getting pulled in or influenced by that darkness? So I think I have a lot more questions than answers. As I tried to answer this, just more questions came up for me. And so, how do I navigate these times? How do I respond to my grandson's questions? How do I accept my own dark angel when she comes knocking? Do I turn away? Do I pretend she doesn't exist? Or do I pull up a chair and ask her to join me? Do I ask her, where does it hurt? Do I work with these thoughts that are zooming and looping around in my mind? Or do I take the easy exit ramp and blame and point fingers and therefore, you know, really just add to the darkness in the world today. You know, what happens in that moment when I have an impulse to respond? What in that moment, in that just very, very, you know, breath of a moment causes me to choose one over another? You know, fear over love. In my own experience with what I call lovingly my dark angel, I choose darkness when I fail to ask her what she needs, when I fear what I may see, so I don't ask. Instead, I just turn away and I allow that darkness to roll in and take over my mind and body. And it happens so quickly. One moment I'm here and the next, you know, the dark angel is, you know, kind of this feeling of sitting up on her throne, feeling, you know, fairly smug and full of herself and kind of wanting to bring down the skies upon us all. So I think, you know, it becomes a personal practice in a way of, how am I choosing to respond to the world? And so here's another question to ask. Am I willing to see? So, you know, in our times, we've rarely seen the true face of the, you know, darkness that resides within humanity on such a massive scale as we're seeing around the world today. But I know enough from my own journey, you know, really a journey out of self-loathing, out of chronic depression. I know enough to know that the darkness is not the truth of even the most, you know, vile person on this planet today. So you can make a choice to follow that darkness. But I'll tell you, it's not who you really are. And in fact, we're getting away from our true self in doing so. And it only continues to, you know, expand this feeling of being separate and alone and afraid. And we continue to feel hollow and vacant when we're following fear. We cannot hate and feel okay with ourselves. We are here to connect heaven and earth, and to know that it's okay to have darkness within us, and to know that our internal light can heal all within us, moment by moment by moment. And I just think it's really important to, you know, for us to realize that we don't need to turn away from the darkness that we feel within ourselves. We can court it, we can, you know, inquire about it, we can come to understand it. And I think in doing so, we develop this sense of empathy for our own selves. And we can then befriend ourselves. And as we do, you know, our dark angels begin to transform. They become softer. We welcome their hands in the paint, in the clay, holding the pencil, shaping the loaf of bread, making the soup for those we love. So art brings connection, and it brings us into the present moment, and it slows us down. So it allows for the space to think about our own dance between the light and the dark before we look out, you know, externally into the world and perhaps place judgment on others. I think it's really a matter of looking deeply at what resides within. And so, you know, definitely, as I said earlier, I have way more questions than answers, but art making and mindfulness, I guess, is my answer. And it's how I'm choosing to live my life. So, you know, here's a fun practice I'll just kind of throw out there. for people if they want to try this.
Well, great.
Challenging. Yeah. So I would just ask people to bring yourself really into the present moment through, you know, a couple, two, three deep breaths, or through any type of a short sensory type of experience. Slow walking barefoot is a good one. You know, just feeling your feet on the ground or on the floor and bringing attention to your body. Then have a person or a group that you look upon that really doesn't bring you much pleasure. It's a person or a group that you have, you know, certainly negative thoughts about. Maybe you have strong negative thoughts about them. And I would ask that, now here's the challenging part, remaining in this place of presence that you've dropped into through your breath or through a sensory experience. Find one small, tiny thing that you can appreciate about that person or that group of people. And then just stay with it and allow it to come through. And, you know, if you say, oh, you know, nothing, there's just nothing. I don't see anything that I can appreciate about this person. All I see is, you know, whatever it is shining through that disturbs me, I would ask that you come back the next day and try it again, and come back the next day after that and the day after that. And I think in my experience, it really doesn't matter how disturbing the person is to us. If we focus on this loving presence practice, we will find something that we find quite nurturing in the person. And if we stay with it, and over time you allow it to nurture you, then, you know, you're not condoning what this person is doing, but you are finding a practice that opens your heart and allows, I think, more light to shine through into the world.
That's great. You know, as you were talking about that practice, I think that that's a beautiful way to do that, because once we're in that space, we're more likely to find something good about that other person or group or whatever that is. So I like that a lot. The other thing I like about what you just said is that you call your darkness, that dark side, the dark angel. So that, to me, makes that side of us maybe more approachable, because it's an angel, right? It's a dark angel, but it's an angel. So there's some goodness there is how I felt about that. I hope our listeners got that too. So, you know, Annalee, you talked about art making as a mindfulness practice, and I think that's great. Will you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, and I will say, to begin with, I first and foremost notice my resistance to making art, because for me, resistance is usually there. The creative process is one of such vulnerability, and for us to have the type of intimate experience we want to have with our creativity, our hearts and minds really need to be open. Art, you know, art is about voice. It's about expression. So I begin where I'm at in my current experience. Am I in a place of love or fear? Am I willing to follow my creative impulses, or will I toss them away? Love says, jump in, begin, have fun, be playful, be curious. It's not about creating a product others will like. It's about the act of creating itself. Whereas fear says, nothing you do will ever be good enough. That line is crooked. Is it meant to be crooked? Oh, maybe you should change that line. I don't know about that color. Fear just freezes us, and it limits our expression. It quietens our voice. Love, on the other hand, just wants to, you know, scream it from the rooftops. It's a great day to make something today. And it feels that way every day. It's like getting up in the morning, and I notice our dog, and every day he just wakes up so happy. And it's like he's got a reset button, and he wakes up fresh and raring to go. And I think that's what love does. Love shows up every day with a clean slate, you know, not really just letting yesterday have dropped away, not carrying it forward. So for me, art making as mindfulness begins with the awareness of my body, and being grounded on this earth, and at the same time, you know, being connected to that universal source of creation. I think when we can bring our full awareness into the moment, beginning with the awareness of the intention we're setting for our art, you know, are we in our heads or are we in our hearts? It's such a fundamental question when we begin. How are we transitioning from our busy external worlds, you know, our work worlds, our, you know, traffic, commerce, all of that, to the inner focus where we come into a sense of stillness, where, you know, we're no longer alone in the process of creating. The art becomes alive during the process, and it actually takes over and really, you know, it uses us. And I've had these wonderful experiences of the art taking over. And you know, here's the interesting thing about that. Sometimes I love the work, the result, the product, whether it be a painting or, you know, a piece of writing. Other times, the experience was so deep and moving and riveting. And when I look at the art that's been created, I think, oh, look at that little pinch pot. It isn't as cute as I intended. But the journey to that, you know, crooked little pinch pot, the journey was rich. You know, the journey shifted something inside of me. And so this, I think this type of connection to our art making opens something so much deeper inside of us. And that deeper part of us, it's not concerned with what, you know, with what I think or with what anybody else thinks. The little pinch pot, you know, it's not about smooth edges. It's about the sensory, you know, experience I had as my, you know, thumb presses into the clay. And, you know, maybe I'm sitting with my eyes closed and my thumb just begins searching, you know, where does it want to land? And can I trust it to land there without looking? And then you just feel it start press in. And then a little pinch here, a little pinch there. It's about kind of entering the dark, the unknown, and allowing and trusting that something greater than my thinking mind knows how to lead the way. And because art making, I think, is such a place of vulnerability, I think we grow taller and we grow stronger at a very, I think, significant level because we give it over, you know, we give it over to, you know, what the poet Mary Oliver calls the soft animal in Wild Geese, you know, that first bit of the poem, you do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. So, you know, I think really it's about letting us love what we love. When we turn toward art, it's just such an enriching experience. And the, you know, the voice that's saying, oh, you know, it works for some people, but it probably wouldn't work for me, or, you know, that person's an artist, but I'm not. That's resistance. That's fear. And, you know, every single person on this planet is, you know, has the ability to create. We all come here as creators, as makers of things. And I think the more we let ourselves create, the more we open. The more we open, the less fear we have. The less fear we have, the more willing we're to look at the scary things about ourselves. And then when we look at those things within ourselves, it's like it transforms it. And I think, honestly, I don't understand it, but I do believe on some level that then it helps to transform the world in a very interesting way. That whole, you know, I originally studied rural economic development and worked in community development for years. And there was always the image used in community development of tossing the stone into the pond and having the ripple effect. And I'm just really excited about helping to create a world that where everybody expresses themselves. And I think we would have way light, more light, and our darkness then becomes a rich journey into an unknown, a darkness of an unknown, but where we feel challenged by our own fears, but we're not playing them out, you know, in onto other people.
Yeah, you know, that's beautiful. I love that, and I love how you talk about art and mindfulness, because I think that some people don't think of it like that. I think they think of the result, just like you mentioned, more so than the process. So I love that you mentioned that. So, Annalee, let's get back to your title, Being on the Light Side of History. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's definitely a play on the idea of getting past this place of right and wrong, where we become so polarized. It's a bit, I think, of accepting that, yes, you know, I've got lightness in me and I've got darkness in me. And so my life is this dance, and it takes it away from being right or wrong. And it looks, it puts the responsibility, I think, within us. How am I manifesting this in the world? Am I bringing my light into the world through my thoughts and actions? And, you know, it's simple. Maybe it's I allow the vehicle in front of me to merge into traffic. It's just, where can I bring love? Where can I be the window for the light to shine through? And I think it's also about, you know, self-care in these times and this personal responsibility of our well-being. And, of course, I think art is a wonderful expression of self-love and self-care.
I agree with that. And I will say that I know that when you were talking about different types of art earlier, you mentioned about even in the cooking, in making that pot of soup, I find that that's art as well. I might not be a painter, but I am a cook, and I do that, and I bring love into that and finesse into that and kindness into that and feeling into that. So I think that there are so many ways to look at it, and that does make me feel light and look at the light as well. So thanks for bringing that up. Yeah. So, Annalee, so this has been great. I love this. I love looking at things in a different way. Art making is beautiful. Art making as mindfulness, I love it. And we can certainly use that in these times, in these days. You know, Annalee, I know that you have a gift for our listeners. I'd love if you could please tell us what that is and share it with them, how they can receive that. And also tell us your website or other ways that people might be in touch with you and learn more about you.
Yeah, absolutely. I do have a gift. I'm super excited to offer, I'd like to offer a series of three coaching sessions. So those would be three 45-minute sessions with me for free. I'm going to offer that to the first three people who get in touch with me. And I'm going to ask them the first, for whoever is interested and wishes to email, give me three words, just three words of words that hold power and passion for you. And just let me know that you have the desire for this coaching package, and I will follow up with you. And you can email me directly at Annalee Davey annelie@gmail.com. So that's annelie@gmail.com. And you can also take a look at my website, annelie.com.
Terrific. Well, that's great. What a wonderful gift. And thank you so much, Annelie. This has been a pleasure hearing from you today and learning about art, and it's beautiful. I love it. And I love also, Annelie, your story in the book. It was very unique, very interesting, and I really loved reading it. I know our readers will enjoy it as well. So thank you for being a part of this whole project. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Sue. I really enjoy talking with you today, and wonderful to be part of this Heart and Soul book. And I just thank you and Powerful You for all the support and for, you know, getting our words and our stories out into the world. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Annelie. And it's just an honor. I will tell you that. That's exactly how it feels. And listeners, thank you. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for contributing to this spirit of Heart and Soul and putting your good light, good love out into the world. We so appreciate what you're doing. Continue to listen to the summit. Be sure to buy that book on launch day, which is November 14th. And thank you so much for being a part of it all. We love you all. Have a great day, everybody. Bye for now.
Living from our heart.